The universe shouts your word. What language do stars use? Words of vast emptiness and infinite distance. Words of brilliant light and constant explosion. Whirling words, ancient words, alien words. Around one word we spin. The sunlight of our world cruising in glory across the sky. Colours of all things, warms all things. Around God's word we gather. The sun, light of the world, his way finds the lost, his truth opens blind eyes, his life conquers death, his bread feeds our hunger, his spirit fills hearts with joy, his desire burns away greed, his touch is sweeter than honey. May our lives shout your word in all we say and all we do, out in the open or hidden in the dark. May our lives sing your word in the secrets of our soul, in trouble, in shame, and confidence. Shine brightly, Lord, and hold us in your orbit. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. We're a wee bit thinner on the ground today. Some of us are out in the community, out doing the litter pick. There were about 20 gathered for worship earlier on at the breakfast service along the road. And there is an invitation, if you are free after this service, to go and join them at the hub. And there might just be a bowl of soup on offer if you wanted to join them and hear how they got on. There are three teams heading off, one up towards the primary school and two down onto the Deeside line. So doing their wee bit and showing what it is to serve. So we'll be thinking about God's creation in our service this morning and how we can perhaps all play our little bit in different ways. The order of service has the intimations for the coming week. I'm just going to leave you to read them all there, just to maybe highlight the holiday club. Normally in the past, we've run a holiday club over our entire week, from Monday through to the Friday. But this year, we're trying something a little bit different. So during the school holidays, every Tuesday morning along at the hub, our holiday club will meet. And it's designed in a way that folk can dip in and out. So if they can't be there every week, it doesn't really matter. Each day is in its own a little entirety. So if any of you have got family coming to stay over the summer and looking for things to do with younger members of the family, then if you would like to drop them with us along at the Kirk Centre for a couple of hours, you'd be very welcome to do so. So they start the first week of the school holidays. I think it's the 9th is the first, the Tuesday the 9th is the first time that we meet there. We've also got a couple of family film shows planned as well, but we'll highlight them nearer the time. I'm going to leave you to read everything else that is there. We are here this morning to worship. God of countless proclamations, every moment you teach us more about our great God. We gather together to thank you for the way you share with us the reality of God's own self. God of countless revelations, every day and night we discover something new about you. We gather together to worship you because of every new insight into life you gift us with. God of countless explanations, almost unconsciously, we continue to encounter new truths about you, our God, as we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell the things that you have created. We gather together to celebrate the wonders and mysteries and the fulfilling delights of being able to receive from you, God, so many new understandings about you living in our world and the way that you are expressed in our creation through our relationships and through simply being with you. Let's stand to sing our hymn 149 in our hymn books, Let All Creation Dance, hymn 149.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to God in prayer. Let us pray. We hear you calling us, Lord, over the busy clamour of the day. Give us grace to pause and be still, still our minds preoccupied with self-esteem, still our gaze to see with your joy the wonder of your creation. Guide our seeing and our hearing, our words and our actions to the quiet place of your presence. Stir in our hearts a new passion, a passion for justice and peace, grounded in your wisdom, a wisdom that we can faithfully pass on to others. Forgive us when we turn away from you, when we are distracted by our worldly cares, when we are wrapped up in ourselves, when we fail to pass on the good news. Forgive us when we fail to hear your words, when we are distracted by our own voice, when we are unthinking about the things we do and are unmoved by the cries of the suffering. Forgive us that we have not the eyes to see the wonder and awe of your creation and the radiance of your everlasting light, because we are gazing inwardly, selfishly, looking after number one. And so we pray that the words of our mouths and the love stored in our hearts stir us into action to care for the world and its creatures, to bring peace to the world and its peoples. And hear us as we join our voices and our hearts in the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing again, and this time we sing the words of Psalm 16. O God, my refuge, keep me safe. No, it's the wrong one. It's Psalm 19. It's number 10 in your hymn books. The stars declare his glory. The vault of heaven springs.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 19, and you can find this on page 547 of the Old Testament section of the Good News Bible. God's glory in creation. How clearly the sky reveals God's glory. How plainly it shows what he has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used. No sound is heard. Yet their voice goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth. God made a home in the sky for the sun. It comes out in the morning like a happy bridegroom, like an athlete eager to run a race. It starts at one end of the sky and goes across to the other. Nothing can hide from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it. The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. The commands of the Lord are just and give understanding to the mind. The worship of the Lord is good. It will continue forever. The judgments of the Lord are just. They are always fair. They are more desirable than the finest gold. They are sweeter than the purest honey. They give knowledge to me, your servant. I am rewarded for obeying them. No one can see his own errors. Deliver me, Lord, from hidden faults. Keep me safe also from willful sins. Don't let them rule over me. Then I shall be perfect and free from the evil of sin. May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. Second reading is from James, third book of James, verses 1 to 12 on page 287 of the Good News Bible, the tongue. My brothers, not many of you should become teachers. As you know, we teachers will be judged with greater strictness than others. All of us often make mistakes, but if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect and is able to control his whole being. We put a bit into the mouth of a horse to make it obey us, and we're able to make it go where we want. Or think of a ship. Big as it is, and driven by such strong winds, it can be steered by a very small rudder, and it goes wherever the pilot wants it to go. So it is with the tongue. Small as it is, it can boast about great things. Just think how large a forest can be set on fire by a tiny flame. And the tongue is like a fire. It is a world of wrong, occupying its place in our bodies and spreading evil through our whole being. It sets on fire the entire course of our existence with the fire that comes to it from hell itself. Man is able to tame and has tamed all other creatures, wild animals and birds, reptiles and fish, but no one has been able to tame the tongue. It is evil and uncontrollable, full of deadly poison. We use it to give thanks to our Lord and Father and also to curse our fellow man who is created in the likeness of God. Words of thanksgiving and cursing pour out from the same mouth. My brothers, this should not happen. No spring of water pours out sweet water and bitter water from the same opening. A fig tree, my brothers, cannot bear olives. A grapevine cannot bear figs, nor can a salty spring produce sweet water. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word.
Thank you, Bruce, for those readings. We continue with our next hymn, which is 137, All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Creatures Great and Small. Thank you. play loud again.
Thank you.
Psalm 19 is a special psalm, beloved of composers such as Haydn, as we've just heard, Beethoven, Handel, to name just a few. It has inspired and spoken to many people, and it is for some their favourite psalm. One writer wrote, it is a profound poetic meditation on the meaning of human life in God's creation. And C.S. Lewis said of it, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. There's a clear structure to Psalm 19. It begins with a declaration of how God is revealed in creation, and it moves on to how God is revealed in his law, and finishes with a response to God with the offering of words and thoughts acceptable to God, our refuge and our Redeemer. God in creation. Now, living in this part of the world, we cannot fail to notice the beauty of the world around us. I always think when we sing All Things Bright and Beautiful, and we talk about the purple hidden mountains, about how that hymn was just written for this part of the world. The sheer beauty all around us. From the glittery granite on a sunny day, to the majesty of the hills and to the sparkling sea. From the little ladybirds that seem to be in abundance this year, to the fields of sheep and cattle, God is all around us. And sometimes I suspect we take it all for granted and stop seeing what is in quite plain sight. Even on the dreariest of days, there is beauty to be found. I remember being on the bus with the first group of Syrian refugee families being resettled in Moray, and we were driving through the glens of Foundland on a particularly dreich February day. It was blowing a gale, it was damp, it was dark, and it was just miserable. And I sat there wondering what on earth these families might be thinking of this strange country they had just arrived in. It wasn't looking at its best, in my mind. But the reality was that the families were thinking quite the opposite to me. They were thinking how green and lush the landscape looked. To them, it truly was beautiful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And the challenge set by Psalm 19 is to never take the beauty of our world for granted. To wake up every morning and to see God in the world around us and to appreciate it afresh. To love it as we would love God. Psalm 19 shouts out the writer's praise of God's creation. An American writer, David Kuzik, describes it enthusiastically like this. David, he's referring to David, the psalm writer. David looked to the heavens, not the spiritual heaven where God is enthroned, but the heavens of the blue sky and the night sky. And he clearly saw the glory of God declared. He could see it in the blue sky with the glory of the sun and clouds and the beauty of sunrises and sunsets. He could see it in the night sky with the brightness of the moon, the awe of the starry sky, and the cloudy spread of the distant galaxies. These together with their size, their awe, their grandeur, shouted to David and all who could see, the God who has created all this is glorious, and this is evidence of his glory. He is glorious in his size, having created something so big. He is glorious in his engineering, having created something that works together so well. He is glorious in his artistry, having created something so beautiful. He is glorious in his goodness and kindness, having created something for all humanity to see. John Calvin was fond of referring to creation as the theatre of God's glory, and the opening verses of Psalm 19 set the scene for us. In the second section of the psalm, we are reminded of God's law and how God is revealed through it. Eugene Peterson, in his message, rewrites the words helpfully as this: the revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point us on the right, out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. The key line in there for me is that the signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The law books of our Bible set out the signposts. God revealed in Jesus set out the signposts. Too often we associate the law of God and our Christian faith as a set of restrictions. The psalm extols us to celebrate God's law. There's beauty in it too. So much to celebrate. Obeying God's law makes us happy. The laws help keep us safe from sin. God's law doesn't make God a God to be feared, rather a God to love, and a God who offers freedom to live life in its fullest. Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment, he said. The second most important commandment is like this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. And this is where the praise for God's creation and God's revelation in law intersect. For in doing the latter, we are doing the former. Obey God's commands and we will be praising God's creation. If we love God, we love God's creation. If we love God's creation, we need to take care of it. It is too easy to marvel at the beauty of the world around us and give praise to God for it. However, it's incumbent upon us all to look after it too. And sadly, that's where we fail. Too often we take for granted the easy options that we have, forgetting that others we share this world with do not have it so easy, and indeed our actions have a detrimental knock-on effect on them, often the poorest in the world. The effects of global warming have hit the poorest the most. During this year's General Assembly, Mr. Paulo Macapelo Jua, a visitor from Mozambique, made an impassioned plea stating, "Climate change is a Mozambiquean reality. Because of its experience of recent cyclones Ida and Kenneth, a result of climate change," he said, "thousands died. Thousands of children have been left without parents. Cities have been almost completely destroyed." And he said this really important line: "Speaking about climate change for us is a trauma because people are weeping, people who are separated and need to find their children." That's a powerful statement. Paulo and his country people live the reality of climate change. There was an awkward moment during the assembly when it was pointed out that the people sitting at the top table in that hall had bottles of disposable water. They were quickly replaced by jugs of tap water. Such a simple thing, but it's small changes like that that can and will have an effect. Looking after creation is not just about keeping it looking beautiful, it's also about ensuring that everyone we share this planet with has the chance to live life in its fullest, and where the actions of some and how they treat God's creation cause harm, we should look to act. The psalmist spoke of hidden faults, things we don't see as sinful, thoughtless actions, unaware of the damage that we are doing. Perhaps in the context of today's service, these hidden faults are the ways that we all fail to look after God's creation, and doing so continue to do damage, damage that Paulo and others then live with the consequences of. But making ethical choices is not always easy. We can have the best of intentions, but the reality is that too often we fail. E.B. White, the writer of that lovely book, Charlotte's Web, once said, "I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. That makes it hard to plan the day." And that's the place we find ourselves in, wanting to do the right thing, but also wanting to enjoy God's creation. But we can do both. Enjoying God's creation doesn't mean destroying it or spoiling it. Small changes in our own behavior, when added to all the small changes made by others, create big changes. The closing words of our psalm this morning are often used by preachers as a way of lifting up what they're about to say to God. May the words and my thoughts be acceptable, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. It's not something that I use, not because I don't like them, but it's just not that habit that I have particularly gotten into. But I do wonder if the words are not universal and words that we could all do with starting our day with, an offering to God that we will try to start each day saying and thinking the right things and then getting on and doing them. I suspect E.B. White could have used this as a starting point to solving his conundrum about how to enjoy the world, but also improve the world. Our passage from James warns of the consequences of our words. We have a powerful weapon in our tongues. It's a muscle that doesn't need a workout to be powerful. We can choose to use our mouths for good, or we can use them to destroy. And we can be caught out by our words, because do our words match our actions? Climate change, caring for God's creation, worthy of fine words, but also worthy of fine actions. Our little litter pickers are out there helping clean up our little part of God's creation, doing their bit to improve the world. Maybe the rest of us can find some way this week of making a small change that will do likewise. Maybe you can switch that unneeded light off. Maybe you can refill your water bottle rather than buy a new one. Maybe you can make a bigger effort at recycling. Maybe you can use your food scraps bin, and for note, there are bags available at the Kirk Centre. Use a cooler wash cycle in your dishwasher or your washing machine. Consider each and every small act that you make an act of praise to God, our Creator, and a way of praising God's creation. Consider each and every small act in obedience to God's law. This is loving the Lord our God with your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. This is loving your neighbour. May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. Amen. We continue our worship this time through our offering. Lord God, take who we are, take what we offer, take our lives, take our actions, take our thoughts, take our words, and make them acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our hymn is 181, for the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Before we come to God again in prayer, I just wanted to let you know where the prayers have come from today. We are an eco-congregation. It's something that our green group strives to ensure that we take seriously. And the eco-congregation movement had created some worship resources for a season called Creation Time, which is normally later in the year. And so I use the prayers from the Creation Time material to go along with today's readings. So let's come to God in prayer once again. Blessed are you, Lord God. You are the breath of life sustaining us each day. You are with us in our journeying and in our resting, our companion and teacher along the way. You, Lord, are our hope and our strength. Your grace permeates everything and everywhere. The sound of your handiwork resounds in all things. Your mystery's breadth and depth exhausts our understanding. In your presence we taste the bread of life, the living water that quenches our thirst, that sustains us and fills our heart with grateful thanks. Peter confessed you as Messiah, but lacked understanding of who you truly were. Give us wisdom to proclaim your redeeming love, to teach others to advance your kingdom regardless of the cost. May your church be filled with songs of praise for the glory of the work of your hands. Our hearts open to your love and our ears to the wisdom of your word. Faithful teacher, help us to understand what we believe. We pray for all who influence our lives, those in places of government, in broadcasting and publishing, in politics and civil life, that they may be blessed with your wisdom in all that they do. Guide all who preach and teach in your name whatever is true, noble, pure, and lovely, that they may help us to see your plan to make all things new. Faithful teacher, help us to understand what we believe. We give thanks for those who have accompanied us on our faith journey, who have supported us when we lacked confidence and gladdened our hearts with your wisdom and understanding. We pray for all who are fearful and anxious, who doubt your love and find themselves in a dark place, who struggle with illness in mind, body, or spirit. When we struggle with words, take the intention of our hearts in our promise to pray. Faithful teacher, help us to understand what we believe. We give thanks for those who have given their lives in the confession of their faith and rest with you in glory. Give us grace to confess our faith in Christ crucified, and give us strength to overcome our fears when we offer ourselves to be faithful servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn 153. great is thy faithfulness, O God, our Father. Go now with God's grace, Jesus' love, and the Spirit's inspiration in you to go and serve our God, our Rock and our Redeemer, this day and always. Amen.